Hello, everybody. We are back with another episode of the Red and Blue Podcast.
Yeah.
We're back again. It's been a week. We said we were going to come back if things were really crazy in the Champions League, and well, things got really crazy in the Champions League.
Yeah, we were going to come back to talk about Champions League anyway, but we had to come back a little sooner than expected because we were wrong. We were wrong.
Yeah, honestly, we picked one of the finals right, but we kind of underestimated them at the same time.
Yeah, we were right because in the second to last podcast, we picked Liverpool to win. But after the whopping that Barcelona gave them at home, we were kind of like, well, it's over. They ended up winning. So they came back. Let's get into it.
So we came back to talk about Champions League for the most part. At the end, we'll do a little bit of Premier League coverage. We're recording this on a Sunday night for Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day to everyone out there.
Yeah, if there's any moms listening, happy Mother's Day.
And we're doing this as we're watching as the Game 7 of Toronto versus Philly's on. So if you want NBA content too, check us out coming up on the Tree City Sports Podcast because we're going to be doing more NBA coverage as well.
Yeah, definitely check them out over there at the Tree City Sports Podcast for the rest of your sports needs for sure.
But anyway, we have to get into this game just because, well, like we said, it was 3-0 at the end of the first leg and we figured, okay, Barcelona has this. And we both said Liverpool played a really good game.
They played an amazing game. They did not deserve to lose.
And Messi just had two really brilliant moments in the game that can, when you're world class like that and you finish those, that can change the aspect of Champions League. And we probably thought, you know, it's probably not going to happen. Barcelona really just has to score one goal and they're okay. Well, they didn't.
they played like shit,
they
too.
They laid a massive egg. Like, one of the worst games I've seen Barcelona play.
They
choked. And I watched them for a good many years
They
now.
Choked so hard,
this
bro.
Is honestly worse for them than the Roma collapse last year.
Yes, way worse.
Like, Roma, like, it was a good team, but, like, you lost 4-0. Like, all you had to do was put one in the net, and you didn't even get beat by, like, the best players on the team. The goals were scored by Origi and Giorgio Wijnaldum, which aren't bad players, but they were getting beat by the guys that weren't even, like, the top players. I feel like from my perspective.
Well, Mane didn't even play.
Yeah, Mane didn't even play.
Or not Mane, Salah. Salah
and Firmino didn't play.
Yeah, so.
So they were playing. Origi had to play out of necessity.
Yeah, so it's like.
And he scored two goals.
The fact that y'all got beat, it's embarrassing.
And honestly, I mean, we have to get into the game itself. The worst part was the fourth goal, honestly. Like, you remember watching that part?
Yeah.
Basically, what happened was there was a corner kick. And Barcelona wasn't set, and they weren't ready, and they weren't engaged in the corner kick.
Just caught him slipping.
So Jordan Henderson literally saw Origi wide open. He's like, okay, I'm going to quick pass it really quick. He saw it, and Origi saw him, and it just went right to him, and he slammed it in the back of the net, and that's what gave Liverpool the goal that helped them advance. Like, it was still 3-3, so worst case, going into that, they were like, Barcelona was like, okay, we've been playing terrible, but, you know, we could at least get into extra time and salvage this. And then they turned off on a corner kick, and that's what cost them.
Amongst
other things, but it was just such a crazy moment to see.
Honestly, and rightfully so, like, the Barcelona fans were pissed afterwards, because that loss it's bad, man.
Yeah.
Like, that was really bad.
And it's the second year in a row this has happened to them, where they have advanced to deep into the tournament, and then they build a big lead in the first leg and completely blow it in the second
leg. And
then
just get blown out.
So, Roma, last year they lost on away goals, and then this year they had to score one goal to ensure safety, and they couldn't do that.
You got
to
start looking at mentality, like what.
And their coach might have to have an issue, has a problem too. Maybe.
Honestly, like what do you tell these guys to have them ready for the second league? Clearly, you're just bolstering their confidence and not telling them, "Look, we haven't won anything, guys. You got to focus up." Because it just seems like these players, they were just acting like they won it already. And they weren't focused. They weren't passing right. Other than Messi. Messi had a good game, but the surrounding cast around him was ass.
So Barcelona had 8 shots. Messi helped create or took all 8 of those chances.
Pathetic.
So he had 5 shots and then he created 3 passes. So he was playing really well. There was nothing else he could have done. And with the players he had on the team, but that's also another problem that I want to get into, is the questionable calls that they had. Kind of like how Pep did in the Tottenham thing, where why weren't they playing their regular first team guys? Like, Arthur wasn't playing. They were playing Arturo Vidal, I guess, because he's a veteran in a big game. But Arthur has been the center midfielder for them that they got this summer. The Brazilian has been so good for them with even Rakitic and Busquets in there. And then Busquets just doesn't show up. He was terrible. PK was terrible. So, like, all these great players that have been there and done that just fell apart while Messi was sitting there trying to hold it all together. And they had 8 chances to create 1 goal, and they couldn't do it.
It's what it is, man. When you look,
Liverpool played masterfully.
Hey, it like we said in the last podcast, Liverpool played a great game, and it just carried over. And the Messi magic didn't show up, and it turns out that this team wasn't ready to play without Messi magic. And that's what it was.
It kind of felt like watching Messi on the Argentina national team. For those who don't know,
honestly,
Messi, while having a lot of good players around him, has really had to carry that team a lot of times just because of they build their entire system around him. And now there's concern in the Argentinian
and it's international fine. Club. It's fine to build your system around a player, but you need to have players with the wherewithal.
Your system can't be the player.
You're right, but honestly, I don't even think that was the issue with them. It's you can't be timid when your big player is getting triple marked and isn't scoring. Like you have to have the wherewithal to be like, all right, I need to go to goal. I need to be aggressive, because guess what? That'll free up your best player. But when you all play like shit, it's easier to focus on the best player and neutralize him. And it's really sad that a bunch of world-class players weren't able to close. Cause like you said, they really only had to score 1. And it would have been a completely different game.
Because then they would have advanced on away goals, because it would have been 4-4, but they would have scored a goal at Anfield.
Exactly. So
all they needed was 1. And it took Liverpool having to put on another masterclass performance, which, not to say we didn't expect it out of them, but it was going to be a lot to ask of them to come back from this semifinal. And they did it because they were able to keep focused and keep their mentality of it's not enough.
Credit to Liverpool, but honestly, this loss is a way bigger indictment of Barcelona.
I agree.
Like, where were your heads at? You didn't even show up. Like, credit to Liverpool. It was an impossible thing, and they did it. But Barcelona just rolled over.
A lot of their good players made key mistakes. PK was making a lot of mistakes as a defender. And when you make a mistake as a defender, the way that Barcelona plays, which is they built from the back, yeah.
And offensively, y'all weren't showing up. Y'all weren't making runs. Y'all were not doing anything. Y'all were just hoping that Messi would show up and take y'all to the promised land. Well, guess what? It's not always going to be like that. This is Champions League, buddy. The rest of your team got to show up. And it's just crazy to me that they didn't know that. Like, what?
Yeah, it was honestly... It was a great game to watch. It felt like
that was a classic. That was one of the best Champions League comebacks I've ever seen.
And I remember watching it. I'm like, there's no way they can top this. And then,
the next day, and didn't I tell y'all? I told y'all on the last podcast, do not sleep on Poch. Do not sleep on this Tottenham main team. Graham was pulling for Ajax, but lo and behold,
I mean, I wanted Ajax just because of the underdog, but man. Watching that game, I was just like, this game is one of the best games I have ever seen.
It was honestly
was unbelievable.
It was the best week of Champions League fixtures I think I've ever seen as an adult soccer fan.
Just like the moments in the game, like the key moments, the stops, the saves, there was a double save at one point, and then it got put in the back of the net because a defender for Ajax, there was a goal where it got shot at close range. The goalie saved it twice, and then a defender got in the way. He lost the ball as he was trying to grab it, and then that's how Tottenham scored a goal.
Yeah.
And it was so many weird swings. And it was a tale of two halves, because at the beginning of the game, Ajax was working Tottenham.
Yeah, and that's the crazy part about this game. Because it's not like the Liverpool comeback, where Liverpool was playing better in both fixtures.
Ajax had been outworking them for...
Exactly.
Three of the four halves.
That's what I'm saying, is that it's different than that, because in the Liverpool games, Liverpool was playing better the whole time. Mm-hmm. In the Tottenham game, they were playing like ass. Literally for three of the four halves, they were playing like ass. But again, if you don't close out, you don't close out. And Ajax, again, this is where I said, because this is what happens every year. There's a Cinderella team that you fall in love with, and guess what? Champions League isn't for Cinderellas. This is for the big boys. And this is where the Cinderella teams get kicked out every year. And that's why I was weary of Ajax, man.
And they almost, and here's what happened. Basically, the flow of the game was they scored 2 goals, and they were up 3-0. And they're like, okay, we got this. And they just crumpled. Because then Lucas Moura, by the way, he's the last signing that Tottenham had. And he was signed 18 months ago.
Had that hat trick.
Yeah, he had a hat trick. He scored 2 goals early in the second half, and that's when it's like, oh, God. Tottenham can do this. They need 1 more. And then Ajax spent the entire rest of the game trying to hold on, hold on, hold on. And then in the most epic fashion possible, there was 6 minutes of stoppage time. And in the 96th minute, Lucas Moura gets through and scores. And that place erupted.
Yeah, I don't
know. Or the fans did, and then the rest just like fell on the ground. Ajax players fell on the ground despondent after that game.
Devastated.
Like, I can't imagine how much air just got sucked out of that building when that goal went in, because they were that close to coming back to the Champions League final, being that team and getting back to the glory days for them. And they just fell apart.
Yeah, well, reality check, Ajax. The glory days were 30 years ago. You got to close, man. That's where, and honestly, I think this, again, with these Cinderella teams, this is where the inexperience shows. This is where being able to close shows. And honestly, what I said on the last podcast, I think it shows up. All credit to Pochettino. This was a coaching masterclass in the second half. I don't know what he said to those boys in that locker room, that was a coaching masterclass. And shout out to them.
And we've said this about Tottenham, that they could be really bad, but for one half, they looked unstoppable.
Amazing.
Like, everything they were doing was working. They were just feeding things through. They were making their runs. They were getting back on defense.
They were doing what I thought they were going to do at the beginning of the game, which is what I said in the last podcast. You have to come as an underdog. You have to meet with force. So I thought both Ajax and Tottenham were going to come out with force. Turns out just Ajax came out with force. And then the situation's completely flipped in the second half. Tottenham came out with force, and it turns out it was enough to win. And it's crazy.
Yeah. That game was by far the craziest Champions League game I've seen to date, just because
I think the Liverpool one was crazier.
Honestly, I think just because of the drama of it, and it got down to the last few seconds of the game where had he not made that shot, that game was over and Ajax was going to win. They would have just had to kick the ball down the field and that would have been whistle. Right. And they scored at the last possible chance on that last run. And everyone's thinking, oh, there's no chance he makes this.
Right.
And he just goes right through the defense and rifles it in. And you saw the looks on Tottenham's face. They were so they went nuts.
I'm with you. I think for me personally, everyone and anyone saying that they didn't write off Liverpool, unless you're a Liverpool fan, you're fucking lying. Nobody thought they were going to win. But as opposed to the Tottenham game, going into the second fixture, they were only down, 2-1?
Yeah.
So it's like, that's doable. It wasn't until the first half that we were like, oh shit, maybe they can't do this. You know what I'm saying? So that's why the Liverpool one was more impressive to me, because they had a whole week to think about, oh shit, we're down 3-0 to Barca, as opposed to Tottenham, which had a week to be like, well, this is possible. You know what I mean? And not only that, but Tottenham got to watch Liverpool come back. So they, if I'm a player, I have the belief, shit, we can do this. You know what I'm saying?
Like, we just saw it happen.
We just saw it happen. So I think for me personally, the Liverpool one was a little more impressive. Yeah, but
it's splitting hairs.
It's splitting hairs.
Because
both of those games were intense and massive.
I was on the edge of my seat. We were watching both of them, a good amount of them together, just on the edge of our seats. Like, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
And like, Ajax took the lead and we're like, oh, this is over.
Right.
And then Tottenham scores twice. We're like, oh my God, they're going to do this. And then we watched the last part separately. I was getting food and I screamed in my car when Lucas Moura scored, because that was unbelievable. I was like, oh my God, Ajax just totally blew it.
Yeah, I was at work watching and I just ran to Renee. I'm like, they won. They came back 2 fucking games in a row. Yeah. They came back from such a huge death. It's crazy, man. It was a great week of Champions League football.
So, I mean, I don't know what it means for the losing teams. I mean, Ajax is pretty simple. They're losing some of their best players soon.
Yeah.
Frankie de Jong is going to Barcelona. Matthijs de Ligt might, but there's a situation with his agent that might prevent him, but he is a really good player. And I think Ajax will be forced to sell him just because of how their club operates at this point.
This is what we always see with the Cinderella teams. When you get this far, the bigger clubs who are willing to pay money, it's always what happens. This, again, these are the trends we see every year. The Cinderella club, you get pickpocketed by the bigger teams. That's just what happens.
Yeah.
So, you know, shout out to Ajax for making it this far, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
I saw that coming.
I mean, they'll probably still be competitive in Champions League because they're a well-coached team and they still have talented players. Just their best players, young players, are leaving.
Yeah.
So
it is what it is with the Cinderella team, man.
When it comes to Barcelona, I mean, that's the highest resource. That's the biggest problem for them, is that
they'll be fine, but damn, that one hurt.
Winning La Liga is great and all, but for Barca, and we know this, they fight for Champions League.
Yeah.
That's what is important to them. And they blew it in a chance where they had their foot on the other team's neck and they couldn't do it. And it's a situation where, like you said, and like we've said, they really didn't deserve to be in that situation to begin
with. Not at all. So, yeah, man, that like long term, Barca is going to be fine. They're going to come around next season and do what Barca does. They still have one of the best players in the world. So let's not overreact with that. But in the short term, they fucked up. And that loss is going to hurt. Like, I don't know if, like, people listening, I'm sure you probably saw some of the articles of just what the Barca fans were doing to some of the team players and what, like, and how they left Messi and like the shit that they were saying to Messi. So it's just like Barca fans can be pretty ruthless because, like Graham said, you expect Champions League, you expect championships. So it's like it is what it is in that sense, but like they'll be fine in the long run.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how a Titan handles it over as opposed to a former giant in Ajax where
they're super former.
Ajax is going to have to be a lot more creative with things, whereas Barca can just kind of fix their problems with either with money or with academy graduates. So.
Probably with money.
So mostly money if you're a big club at this point.
It is what it is.
But we wanted to get through and talk about those, and we'll be back in just a second to discuss the Champions League final and the Europa League because both of them are all English.
Yeah.
All right, and we are back because we have to preview the final a little bit for Champions League, and then we'll do a little bit of Europa just for fun just because it's two English teams, but also in Champions League. Yeah. Two English teams, an all-English European championships.
Again, like we always say, Premier League is the best league in the world. Now everyone knows.
So the teams we've watched all year, we pretty much just get to see again.
Yeah.
So it'll just be top six matchups, basically, for much higher stakes.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
So in the Champions League, we have Tottenham versus Liverpool, which is going to be really interesting because we've seen the peaks of each of these teams. And even with Tottenham's peak, it's going to be really hard for them to beat a Liverpool team that is just basically mowed through everybody, despite the fact that they finished second in Premier League this year.
Yeah, honestly, for me, if I'm, I think this one's an easy win. I love Klopp. Well, I do love Klopp, but I love Poch is what I meant to say.
Yeah.
I love what he's been doing. Me and Graham saying his praises in the last podcast, we both think he deserves Coach of the Year.
Absolutely.
He probably won't get it, but he deserves it.
Yeah. Because they don't factor in European competition. Which,
right. But it sucks. But I love Poch, but honestly, when it comes down to it, Liverpool, not only do I think they deserve this Champions League, but I think they're a much better team.
Tottenham's going to have to play another game like they did against Ajax in the second half. They didn't have a chance.
All I'm saying is you can't come out flat that against Liverpool.
If they come out flat, they're going to be down 3-0 at half.
And expect to roll them over in the second half. That's not going to fucking happen.
Especially with a healthy – they have Salah. They don't have Firmino yet, but they do have Salah. And they could have Firmino maybe by the Champions League final because it's a pretty decent time away. So they're going to have time to get ready. The season's over. They're going to put all their time into that one game.
But even without Salah, we saw them cut up Barca, which is probably one of the best teams in the world.
But then add him in, and that creates a whole other set of
problems. So it's just like, I love Tottenham. I feel for them.
On the flip side, if Tottenham plays their best game, they have a really good chance to win this game because they have players that can show up in big moments.
They do.
I would say I'm not going to change what I said. I think Liverpool is going to win this title, but I think it would not surprise me at all if when we do a podcast talking about the Champions League, we talk about Poch raising that trophy.
Yeah, I mean, because again, at this point, everyone deserves to be here, be it luck or what have you. You get here, so I'm not going to discount Tottenham. I think that again, Poch is probably one of the best coaches in the world right now. It's going to be another chess match, like how I said before.
It's going to be really awesome.
It's going to be a fucking chess match because these teams know each other, and Klopp and Poch are some of the best coaches in the world. So it's going to be a chess match. I don't know how they're going to approach it, but I do know that Liverpool is going to be way more healthy than Tottenham. They got way more firepower, and Tottenham just seems timid sometimes. And Liverpool has been anything but timid this year.
Yeah.
And I just don't see Tottenham being able to beat a confident Liverpool team that's rolling right now. Because as much as they lost the league, I don't think it hurts them that much knowing, hey guys, let's recoup and let's win fucking champions.
Yeah. And like we said, they have plenty of time to prepare for it.
I think they're going to go in confident. I think they're going to go in hungry. I think they're going to go in a little pissed they didn't win Premier League 2.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to roll over this Tottenham team.
Yeah, I mean, I really think this game is going to be interesting, like you said, because of the familiarity factor. These teams know each other pretty well, and they probably have scouted each other more than just the games they've played.
Oh, no question.
So they play twice.
You know every team in the Premier League.
They played twice this year, and now you're playing them for something that's even more of a challenge. Tottenham already did it once against Man City, where they proved that they could handle it in the big stages. they're going to have to do it again against the other giant in the Premier League. Because both of those teams were the two best teams by far in the Premier League this year. And you're going to have to get through those giants in a way. If they win the Champions League, it's almost kind of like a Premier League victory for them in a way. Because that means they beat both of the top teams when it mattered most.
Yeah. I mean, like I always say, I don't mean to poo-poo the Premier League, but Champions League is what every team wants. That's the big trophy. It's just so it's like
that added factor of you're beating another team in the league that did better than you in the league, and you can say you beat both of them in the same
leg. Even if you didn't beat them, if you get champions and they don't, that's a...
I know.
You know what I mean?
I just think it adds a little bit of extra flavor to it, because that's the top two teams, arguably, in Premier League history that they ran through.
Sure, yeah.
If they get through this. Now, with that being said, we do think Liverpool has the firepower necessary, and they're just so rock solid under Jurgen Klopp.
Some would argue that Man City just can't play well in the Champions League, but that's another conversation for another day.
And that'll be a discussion we talk about in the summer.
We can talk about that in the summer, but
yeah. But no, I mean, it's going to be a really good final.
It's going to be a good game.
I mean, all these, since the quarterfinals, we've had a lot of good matchups in the Champions League.
I'm expecting a very good game, but man, I just think this Liverpool team, it's destiny right now.
I think Liverpool is going to definitely come out angry, and as long as they stay inside of themselves, but also play the way they've been playing all year, I think there's a good chance they come out of this with a close victory. And it wouldn't honestly shock me if it goes into extra time. I could see this being a high-scoring game where like a 2-2 game where they just have to grit it out for 120 minutes and someone's going to score a winning goal.
If it is like that, then credit to this Tottenham team. But like you said,
I'll say I trust Liverpool more to play at a high level right now than I trust Tottenham, because I've said they're the most high variance team.
Right. What I was saying is that if that does happen and Tottenham on top of, because we were having this conversation off mic, we were talking about how Poch wants to get his players, but the board is kind of having a Man U problem where the board is like, well, you're doing well. Why do you need better players? And then it's kind of a double-edged sword where if you win, then the board isn't going to give you money for your players because you're succeeding with the players you have. It's the same situation that Mourinho was in. He got second in the league, so the board was like, why do you need better players? Make it work. You know, you're right there. So it'll be that point will be bolstered you know, against Poch, if he does win, it'll suck for him trying to get his players, because the board will just be like, fuck you. You underachieved in the league. That's why your players clearly can do it when it matters. So be a better coach. And that's just going to suck for him with the board. Because
honestly, if I'm him and I win the Champions League, it's my last season with Tottenham.
Because it's a lose-lose situation.
They're not going to give him an extra budget to compete on both fronts, which is what Tottenham wants to do.
And what Man U was doing with Mourinho, that's why he got fired.
If they want to compete with Liverpool and Man City in the Premier League, which they did for half the year, but then they just couldn't handle the pace. Yep. He's going to have to add depth, and they just don't have that. And right now,
give coaches their money. Yeah. Boards, GMs, stop fucking with these coaches, man. This shit is fucked up.
Yeah.
Because it happened with Mourinho, and it's about to happen with Potts too.
So regardless, let's hope that this is a good game and the future of Pochettino and Tottenham is going to be interesting no matter what happens. But let's just all take a minute to savor that game, because this could be maybe his last game with Tottenham, or it could be the changing of things at Tottenham while Liverpool is still trying to really get that last monkey off their back if they win, which is to win the Premier League.
Yeah, because the board could easily take the other direction and be like, oh, you won here, take whatever you want, you know. Yeah. It could happen. We don't know. It'll be very interesting, like you said.
So those two teams are guaranteed to play in the Champions League because of just where they finished and how well they play. In Europa League, we have two more Premier League teams, Chelsea and Arsenal, that whoever wins the Europa League automatically qualifies for Champions League. And it's not going to happen. I mean, Olin talked about it, but Chelsea finished in third place in the Premier League this year, and Arsenal finished fifth. And in the Premier League, top four only makes Champions League. So for Arsenal, it means something different than it does for Chelsea. For Chelsea, it's just to cap off a season where they did have a lot of good comebacks at the end of the year after a really tough January, February period.
And kind of, we were, and again, me and Graham were talking about this off mic before we started potting, but like, in terms of coach of the year, for me, it's Poch, and then it's Sarri right under that. Because for me, when I look at coaches of the year, I don't look at like expectations. I look at exceeding expectations. And nobody, I think, expected Chelsea to get third. And granted, like Grant pointed out earlier, the top six is very close, so I'll give you that. But the fact that they were able to do it, like we say, every point, every game matters in the Premier League. And the fact that he was able to ride out the waves of a very turbulent Chelsea season. We were discussing earlier in the year, like Graham said in the podcast, if he was going to get fired.
Yeah, like, it was going to be after Mourinho.
Yeah, it was a very turbulent time there for a second for Chelsea. And the fact that they were able to, you know, pull it together haphazardly as it was, no pun intended, they got third. So I think credit to him for really, you know, weathering the first year storm and getting third.
And for them, it's for Europa League, it's a chance to end the season with a trophy, which is just something to be proud of. So
exactly. Given that turbulent season, a trophy would be nice.
So they're not going to take it easy on this game. People, and I kind of talked about it just as a joke, like, you know, they really don't have to try in Europa League because they already are in Champions League.
I mean, if...
But Arsenal, which we said is in fifth place,
yeah,
this means a lot more to them than just the trophy. This is a ticket back into the Champions League, which they've had now a three-year drought of not being in the Champions League, which is their longest in decades. They're a team that's known for being in the top four, one of the flagship teams in European football and in England.
Right.
So for them to miss out would be huge. And right now, this is their last chance. They couldn't get to it in Premier League. They fell just short. They were one point out. And this is their last chance. So this is a lot of stakes for them. Whereas Chelsea, while there is stakes, they don't have as much to lose as Arsenal does.
And that is exactly why I'm picking Chelsea.
Yeah. It really depends on how you feel like if Unai Emery can get this team ready, which don't get me wrong, they've exceeded my expectations this year. They finished at 70 points, which for Arsenal is really good after the years they've had.
They can't stop anybody.
But they can't stop anybody. Right. And with Chelsea,
they're getting scored on by like the most shit offenses.
Chelsea has a good front. And as long as Hazard's there for how much longer he is, they're going to be a dangerous team. And
wouldn't that be a great swan song to send him off with a trophy?
Yeah, it's not going to change anything for their Champions League qualification, but it gives them some Chelsea fans something to be proud of going into the offseason.
Exactly. And again, given how turbulent your season was, to be like, hey, at least we won a trophy and we got third, like against Liverpool and Man City, I'll take third. You know what I mean? So I think that's a pretty good season, all things considered.
So it'll be interesting to see how Unai Emery gets them ready. If they can have one good defensive game, that's all it takes.
That's all it takes.
They need one good game where they can keep the ball out of the net, or at least just keep it to the point where their offense, led by Lacazette and Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, can really show off.
What if that's what he says in the fucking locker room? Just defend for one fucking game, boys. Just one game.
I was like, if we win, we get Champions League.
Just defend one time, please.
Like, I need you to do this one time. Now, I don't know how they'll be able to handle Hazard and Conte and all these guys. So we'll see.
Doubt it.
I would pick Chelsea.
I'm picking Chelsea.
But so if Arsenal wins, I'll be really happy for them because that means five Premier League teams for us make it into the Champions League. It's the
best league in the world.
And that's as many as you can really get. So, I mean, it's great. So we have Europe for that. And then the final thing we want to talk about is the Premier League, just how it unfolded the rest of the year. So today was the last game for every team. Brighton versus Man City.
Man U sucks.
Yeah, Man City, you lost to Cardiff, which I'll let you know about in a second, but if you feel like it. But Liverpool played at home against the Wolves, and Man City played at Brighton. Basically, yep. Liverpool needed Man City to have a worse result than them to win the title.
Yep.
Did not happen. For about 90 seconds, they thought it was possible because...
And then Aguero!
Actually, 11 minutes, because Liverpool scored. It was 1-0. For a while, the people in the other stadium knew it's 1-0. And then Brighton scored and made it 1-0. Yeah. And in my chest, I was like, please don't do this.
Sidebar, did you see that the Wolves fans were like faking goals to fuck with the Liverpool fans? That's so funny.
That's
all
awesome.
Right, continue.
But yeah, I mean, I don't think the players knew, or maybe they're lying and saying they didn't, but it was 1-0 Brighton. And at that point, as City fans, you're like, Liverpool's team of destiny. They're going to get this.
Right.
And then their quality came back. They didn't struggle as much as they did in the Leicester game, where they really had to grind it out. And they just really started playing Pep Guardiola football, and they overwhelmed the Brighton team, which for the first 25 minutes of the game was probably playing their best football for a long period.
And granted, again, these, like we said on last podcast, these lower teams have their backs against the wall for these fixtures.
And for Brighton specifically, last week they ensured safety in the Premier League. So this was just more about pride and sending off their player Bruno, who was 38 years old and was retiring, longtime Brighton player. Congrats to him. But yeah, I mean, they ensured their safety. So right. For them, they didn't have as much of a fire as Man City did.
They
didn't. Man City had to win the
they
game.
They didn't, but that's not the point. The point is that you, no matter what, if I'm a Man City fan, I'm thinking, it's Brighton, though.
Right.
You just go in a little more lackadaisical.
But that 1-0, the way Man City was playing, it was worrisome because Man City was having a really tough time in the
exactly.
First
and then the second, and then all it takes is 1-0, and then they woke up, and then that's when the quality showed. The quality literally, disparity showed.
Literally,
between the
as
teams.
Soon as it was 1-0, City's like, okay, we have to stop playing around, because then 90 seconds later, Aguero gets a goal and makes it 1-1, and then from then on, they just dominated.
And that is what. When the switch was turned and you really saw the disparity between the two teams.
It was punctuated off by Riyad Mahrez getting his kick to make it 3-1. The 2-1 was important, but really for City to ensure that championship, they needed to get a two-goal cushion. That Riyad Mahrez strike was great. And then the final one by Gundogan was just icing on the cake. It was a perfect free kick. Nice shot. They didn't need it, but it was just a nice accentuated at the end of the season. Meanwhile, Liverpool's over doing a good job against the Wolves. They beat them 2-0, and it didn't matter.
Yep.
So at the end of the day, Liverpool fans should be really proud of that team. That team had 97 points. They lost one game all year. You should have no problems with the fact that you finished second to Man City, and also add into the effect that you're playing in the Champions League final and they're not. So as your Liverpool fan, you really have to be proud of this team and know that there's still one more jewel that you could get at the end of that thing, is you could have the top one.
That's what I said, man. If I'm Liverpool, I'm not. I know, and I know Klopp.
It sucks that they lost at 97 points, but...
But, and again, knowing Klopp, I guarantee that he wasn't sad after the loss. He said, look, boys, we can still get a trophy. We can still get a better trophy. The most important trophy. Other than the World Cup, that's the best trophy in the world.
Right,
so
that's
it's
the most important club soccer trophy in the world.
Other than the World Cup, there's no bigger trophy you want to win than champions. So it's like, I'm sorry, other leagues, you don't compare to champions. So it's just like... You know, given all of that, like, I don't think this Liverpool team is going to be sad that they lost. I think they're going to, like you said, I think they're going to look back and be proud of what they did and be prouder of that Champions League they're going to win, man.
I just hope that this team in Premier League history isn't forgotten because they finished second place.
Well, if they win champions, they won't.
I think.
Get it done.
Right. But I just want to make sure, I just want people to understand that even if they win that, make sure that you understand how good, as a Man City fan, understand how good this Liverpool team was and that they did nothing to lose this league.
Which is surprising.
It's like Jurgen Klopp said, oh, people said you could get a point here and a point there. They lost one game all year and only drew 7. Come on. Like, they had 97 points. In any other year, that would have won you the title.
I'm with you. I'm just saying.
So it's like, you can't be sad about it. That's what I'm saying. You can't.
Well, you can.
You can't worry about what's happening with other teams. You, like he said, you can only worry about what your team is doing. And that team played like the best team in the world for pretty much all of the year.
I mean,
and they have a chance to show it now in Champions League.
All of that is cool, but it still sucks to lose.
No, I understand, obviously. And in Premier League, it doesn't matter more to Liverpool fans, but they've had a really long drought of not winning the Premier League.
I'm kind of dressing it up by making it seem like Champions League is the redemption. It's like, and that's true, because Champions League is better. It's a better trophy, but it still sucks to play that well and lose.
As we are recording this, we think Toronto might have just hit the game-winning shot to beat Philadelphia in Game 7. So we apologize for that part, but...
I'm sorry, we just had to turn this on. Wow, they just hit the game-winning shot.
Yeah.
So Toronto is going to the Eastern Conference Finals, sidebar. Go to Tree City Sports Podcast. You'll hear more about that.
It's kind of a live podcast. We didn't expect it.
We just
looked over and it happened.
And it happened. Sorry, we weren't expecting that.
It's all right. I mean, we understand that this Champions League, that the Champions League is so important.
Facts.
And the Premier League is important to Liverpool because it's been 30 years. Right. But they played, my main point is they played really well. They had 97 points. Don't feel bad. Next year, you're going to be back with a chance to compete for the Premier League. It's hard to win it 2 times in a row. It's only been done 4 times in Premier League history. Imagine trying to do it 3 times. City's going to eventually have to decide, and we've talked about this, what's more important. And next year, they might have to decide Champions League's more important, especially if Liverpool win, because then they have to get it back.
Right.
So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens throughout the rest of the year. The Premier League was just really interesting.
Lucky bounce. Oh, Kawhi got a lucky bounce on the shot. That's tragic. All right. Yeah, man, I agree. I think it's like you said, like they're going to come back next year. more healthy and more seasoned, you know, a seasoned team that's been through the ringer, has pulled double duty, knows what that feels like. So all in all, it is a plus for them. And like we said, they can, they still have a chance to get the, to get a crown jewel here in champion. So just get it done, man. Just get it done.
So the Premier League is over for us. But like I said last week, we'll be back with more episodes. It probably won't be weekly. It'll probably be bi-weekly like it was before, every couple weeks. So make sure you check us out at treecityrecords.com.
Yes,
make
yes.
Sure you check out the Street Team. Make sure you check out the new music that's coming out.
Yes, make sure. Yes, yes, please. Biggs is coming out with a tape. Intellect is coming out with What Determination Sounds Like too. Like Graham said, join this Tree City Street Team. You get updates on new music, new podcasts, everything we're dropping, any new content. You'll get updates there. So please join Tree City Street Team. And as always, man, we appreciate you guys for listening. Even though the Premier League is over, we're definitely going to come back, analyze the Champions League when that's over. We might have a pod before that, just depending on how things go. And we're definitely going to come back in the summer with more content on this podcast. I might drift over to Tree City Sports Podcast, yeah. And just to give you guys some more content, because it's going to be a boring summer. There's not going to be a lot going on. So definitely,
you can talk about the more detailed stuff in soccer.
Yeah, yeah, we'll definitely still be around. So just, you know, join the Street Team and you'll get updates on everything that's dropping. You won't miss anything. So thank you guys.
Peace.